Why is that spouse that God has given to you? Don't do anything in these early years to mar or scar that relationship. Love each other. Live a selfless life with the other as the most important consideration that you have in life. The battle went on that year. As I became ill, it began to come to me, since I'm not the kind of person that always necessarily thinks the best thing first. I began to develop some physical problems myself, and believe it or not, I thought I was going to die. Now, it seems kind of amusing to me now, because really there wasn't that much wrong with me. But there was such pressure and such confusion and such desperation within my heart that as these things began to come along, it looked to me like a very simple answer to the whole situation. Yes, that's it. God isn't going to call me to preach after all. He's going to kill me. That's the way it's going to be. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was there in our seminary apartment near Troost Avenue and 89th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. I was there alone that day. Connie was at work. Monday we didn't have class, and I didn't have to go into work till later in the afternoon. I was there alone doing the dishes. I want that on the record because it may have been the first and may also have been the last time that I did that. But I was there just feeling so miserable and feeling so depressed and so dissatisfied, and God, the Holy Spirit, came to me. And he said, you know, I think it's time for you to give me all there is of you. Oh, Lord, I said, you've got it all. No. No, he said, what I want is you. I want the real you. He said, you've given me your life. You're going to be my minister. You've given me your wife. You've given me everything that's important to me, to you. He said, now, I want you. I had thought before that really I had given him all there was to give. But as the Holy Spirit probed my heart that day, I realized that though I had given him my sins, and even though I had paid lip service to the fact that I had given him the real me, in my heart of hearts, I knew that self was still on the throne of my life. And he began to show to me that the reason that I didn't want to do his will was because I was afraid to trust him completely with my life. I would rather trust my uncertain self then I would be willing to trust him with my life. I went into our bedroom and knelt down by the bed and started to pray that day. And God took me down to the very roots of my being with my secret fears, my secret doubts, the things I had never told anyone. They were there. And that day, I gave it all to him until it was no more Paul Cunningham who lived, but Christ who lived in me. Did I need to wait that long? No, I didn't need to wait that long. It was just the story of my journey, and because of my own lack of trust in an almighty God who loved me enough to save me, who loved me enough to die for me, who loved me enough to call me to his work. All those years he faithfully stayed at my side, calling me to the poured out life. But it wasn't until that moment, in that bedroom, in that apartment, that God had all there was to have of me, and I made for the first time in my life a real and final and complete consecration to the whole will of God. And when I did business with him on that basis, he did business with me on his promised basis, and filled me with his Holy Spirit and sanctified me wholly until I was ready for the most meager task. And to shorten the long story, the years ahead were filled with many wonders and miracles that I couldn't have dreamed of then. But after that internal struggle was resolved, God gave me great joy in doing the will of the Father. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I have never found this life to be a boring life. It is the most thrilling. It is the greatest adventure. It is the greatest challenge that any young man or any young woman could ever hope to experience. But the key was being filled so that I could pour out. It's the greatest life there is. I say to you tonight, don't give up till you get it. Pray until you're filled. Then begin to really pour out your life for God. You see, the truth is we desperately need a heroic Christian in our day. If we're going to save this day for God, we need heroic Christians. Wendell Phillips was the great emancipator. He fought against slavery. He fought against the mistreatment of Indians. He fought against the mistreatment of the immigrant Irish. He fought for woman suffrage and other causes. He was a hero of our history. In his later years, one evening, he received a young visitor who wanted to meet the old campaigner. They talked the entire evening, and when the young man left, he said to Wendell Phillips, after hearing the tales of excitement through his courageous life, he said, "Oh, Mr. Phillips, if I had lived in your day, I too would have been heroic." At that, Mr. Phillips opened the door of his home and pointed down the street and said, "Young man, there are evils that exist right here, right now, right in this block that need your attention. You do live in my time, and you live in God's time. No man could have been heroic then who is not heroic now." Our day calls for spiritual heroes more than any other day of history. And I ask you tonight, are you willing to heroically pour out your life to help save this day for Christ? If you are, then there's only one condition. He wants everything you have and everything you are and everything you hope to be. First of all, your sins have to be forgiven. Secondly, you have to give him everything you are and have so he can give you everything he has. As for me, I feel that the last drops of my life are being poured out for God. Oh, tonight, my friend, I call you to this life. I challenge you to live this kind of life. It's the greatest life there is. Will you do it? Stand with me now. I want us to sing that little chorus, "Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee." For tonight, if God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, making you sense your need, then you know so very well how much you need him. Dear Lord, we have felt your presence with us throughout this day. We believe that somehow, some way, for some reason, you're trying to bring revival to College Church in the month of April. We have felt your powerful presence with us in these recent services. You're here tonight. We have no question in our minds but what we have preached, the message that you have laid upon our hearts. And we believe that we have done so because you have already been preparing and talking to some hearts who need a special touch this night. We can't compare experiences, but we can be assured that you have called all of us to be saved from our sins. You have called all of us to be filled with all the fullness of God. You've called every one of us to be sanctified holy. You've called all of us to make a complete consecration. We believe there are some here tonight who aren't very satisfied with the way life has been going. We believe it is because they have failed to discover the secret of the poured out life. The secret where your word tells us if we want to save our lives, then we'll have to lose them. We'll have to give ourselves away. The greatest life we know is to just give ourselves away. The poured out life. We pray tonight, dear God, that your invitation will be so compelling that there will be those who will respond, who will say, yes, Lord, that's what I want. Something worth living for. Something worth dying for. That's what I want. May all of us, young and old alike, be obedient to your voice tonight. In thy name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, singing this little chorus together. If the Holy Spirit invites you to the place of prayer tonight, friend, why don't you come and begin to discover what life is really all about. Come now as we sing.
Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I'm
Some of you have been kind of kicking it around a long time, and some of you have been kicked around by the devil entirely too long. There's been far too much defeat in your life. It doesn't have to be that way. Going with God is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Not a dreary life. The most exciting life in the world. It could be your life tonight. Are you coming? Precious Savior, we are grateful tonight for these who have responded so quickly. Oh, meet their needs, each one, we pray. Help that one tonight who's out there trying to decide if it's worth it, to understand that it is the only thing that's worth it. There is no other way to have a happy, contented, joy-filled life than the Jesus way. And there's no sense stopping halfway. Why sell it short? Why not go all the way? Get all of the good thing. Oh, Lord, we just believe tonight that there are some who have suffered at the hands of the enemy, who have known far too much defeat in their lives. It's time for them to start delighting in the will of God. It can be their portion tonight. If they'll yield themselves completely to the whole will of God. Help us, Lord, we feel your presence here. Be convincing in your invitation, we pray, until there'll be no one who will resist you, but all will respond to the challenge to live a poured out life, the only life worth living. Come now as we sing this chorus again. Respond to the invitation of the Holy Spirit. God wants to meet your need tonight. Why don't you let him do it in this beautiful atmosphere? Come now as we sing it together.
Come.
Sing it again, and we're singing it while you come, friend. Why don't you come? Just come now.
Where he leads.
Yes, that's it. Don't believe the devil's lie. This is the best life. Are you coming? Are you coming? Been so powerfully evident in our services today, last week, how grateful we are for his great faithfulness. We're going to close the service tonight. I believe we'll close with just singing one more time tonight. I was just looking down here at my mother a moment ago. She's lived a lot of years now. She's seen a lot of things come and a lot of things go. My mother down through the years has been a woman of prayer. I don't mean mealtime praying. I mean close the door, intercessory kind of praying by the hour, sometimes by the day. I believe tonight that one of the reasons I stand before you is because of a faithful mother who prayed and believed that God would meet her family's needs. I've seen her in the test, in the trial. Things that would have crumbled the average kind of person. But she's never been average. She's always been superior. One reason. As a young girl, she let Christ have her life. She made the decision years ago to live the poured out life. And as I look across this great congregation tonight, I wonder how many moms and dads and pastors and aunts and uncles have prayed for you. that you are where you are tonight because of the faithfulness of godly family, friends who've prayed for you and held on for you. Isn't it about time you make your own spiritual decision? Isn't it about time you quit resting on the prayers of other people, living off of other people's religion? Isn't it about time you declare yourself to do the whole will of God? Isn't it about time you face up to your responsibilities to be a man, to be a woman, and accept God and begin to grow up? I wouldn't be surprised if maybe this is the time. Maybe this ought to be your night. God's here in a powerful way. I believe anybody that wants to have a need met tonight would find that it wouldn't take long for God to meet your need. We're going to sing it one more time, and I believe that'll be all we sing tonight. Not sure, believe it will be. But one thing I know, there's plenty of time, friend, for you to come and to let God meet your need. Will you come now as we sing it?